Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting the film series Testigo Witness, Goya in the Movies. Held on select Fridays in May, each film touches upon artist Francisco de Goya's visions of the world, kicking off with Pan's Labyrinth by Guillermo del Toro on May 10th at NortonSimon.org.
Support for LAist comes from Visual Communications, presenting VC Film Fest, celebrating 40 years of Asian and Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander filmmaking, with over 200 films May 1st through 10th. Info at festival.vcmedia.org.
It's Hair Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Great to have you with us for this Independence Day weekend coming up. You might be considering a movie to stream at home or perhaps going to a local movie theater and take advantage of the air conditioning. Our critics on Film Week in about 35 minutes will tell us about The Forever Purge. That's the latest in the horror thriller series of Purge films. Long story short, a new romantic comedy from Australia. It's gotten really nice attention for the writer-director Josh Lawson. Also, a documentary on the comedian and civil rights activist Dick Gregory. The documentary, The One and Only Dick Gregory. We'll hear what our critics think of that. And Steven Soderbergh with a brand new crime drama, No Sudden Move, with Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro, David Harper, and John Hamm, all starring in that film. So those and many more coming up at 11 o'clock with our critics on Film Week. But right now, so pleased to be joined by UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital professor and physician, Dr. Annabelle de St. Maurice. She's assistant professor of pediatrics and the co-chief of infection prevention at Mattel. Dr. de St. Maurice, so good to have you with us again.
Thank you so much for having me on again.
So, first of all, your thoughts about this Independence Day weekend. So many people are undertaking travel today, either headed to the airports or hitting the road for a 3 or 4 day weekend, taking some time off. Anything we should keep in mind relative to the coronavirus as we travel?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea wherever you're going to look at rates of COVID-19 and also look at vaccine rates and really make decisions based off of the risk of where you're traveling to. Definitely would visit family who are fully vaccinated, but would be more hesitant about visiting folks who aren't.
All right. Also wanted to ask you about Johnson & Johnson, which says its single-shot coronavirus vaccine is effective against the Delta variant and that the vaccine lasts in effectiveness for at least 8 months. Your thoughts about what Johnson & Johnson is reporting?
I think this is great news. You know, although most people in the United States who are fully vaccinated have received the messenger RNA vaccines, there are a lot of people who've received J&J and have been awaiting this data, including some of my family members. So I think this is all very reassuring. The data are limited. They still haven't published it in scientific journals. It's peer-reviewed journals. They've released a press release and then have submitted some pre-publications that are not yet reviewed by other scientific authors, but it does show that their vaccine is effective in a small group of people against the Delta variant, which is, you know, very reassuring, and that individuals who are vaccinated with J&J actually have an increase in their immune response to the vaccine over time and up to 8 months of follow-up in these folks showing that the vaccine is really highly effective. This is good news.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So for those who wonder if they should get one of the mRNA vaccines in addition to Johnson & Johnson because of the efficacy rates being so high with the mRNA, what do you say to people who ask that?
So I get asked this quite a bit, and my advice is to hold off. So one of the challenges with just sort of doing your own thing, creating your own vaccine schedule, is that you don't know the impacts of this later on. There are some vaccines that if you get them in the wrong order, they might actually affect the way that you respond to the vaccine might decrease your immune response. It sounds kind of counterintuitive, but we do see this with some vaccines. So that's why all of these studies of boosters and additional doses really need to be done in the context of clinical trials. So I would say hold off. You know, we have great data right now demonstrating that the vaccine is effective, and hold off until our public health officials come up with recommendations that are based on science and clinical trials.
The White House earlier this week acknowledged the President Biden's goal of 70% of adults being at least partially vaccinated by July 4th will not be reached. However, it does appear that 70% of Americans older than the age of 26 will have at least one dose of vaccine. Still pretty good news.
Yeah, I think this is great news. I think, you know, the fact that we're just 3% lower than our target is pretty good. I'd like us to see more individuals in that 18 to 26 year age group get vaccinated. And I'm hopeful that, you know, as people see more of their loved ones and friends getting vaccinated and doing well and not getting infected, that they themselves will also get vaccinated.
Is it possible that it would take a significant rise in COVID-19 cases to convince that group of younger Americans who's not getting vaccinated to do so? I mean, there's been so much about the importance of getting vaccinated, the benefits that it conveys to people. I just wonder if we're kind of, you know, close to the level we're ultimately going to reach unless we have a major outbreak.
Well, Larry, I hope it doesn't get to that, but it may be that as people see that cases are going up in areas where individuals aren't vaccinated, that they might be more motivated. No, I'm not sure. I really do hope it doesn't get to that, because I don't want to see more people getting hospitalized and sick who are unvaccinated.
We're talking with UCLA Mattel Children's Hospital physician and professor Dr. Annabelle de St. Maurice. You have questions for her about vaccines and about COVID-19. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. You can tweet at AirTalk, post on the AirTalk Facebook page, and post on the AirTalk page at kpecc.org. The World Health Organization is calling on Western nations, like the U.S., of course, to accept two apparently less effective Chinese COVID-19 vaccines, this to try and spur travel between countries. What's your opinion of the World Health Organization trying to lean a bit on Western countries to approve the Chinese vaccines for people coming into their countries?
Yeah, I think this is a tricky subject since, you know, we don't want to create these disparities between countries that have received some different vaccines than the ones that are licensed in Europe or in the U.S., for example. You know, Chinese vaccines, really, the data out there in terms of scientific publications is much more limited than what we have for the mRNA vaccines or the J&J or AstraZeneca. It does seem that their efficacy, for example, for the Sinovac, that their efficacy is a lot lower, around 51% in clinical trials, but we haven't seen as much real-world data. And then we've seen outbreaks in areas that relied on those vaccines. So, you know, I think this is a difficult topic, but I, you know, look forward to seeing more data from China so that we can really decide what to do with these vaccines in terms of approving them for travel, et cetera.
In England, the Delta variant is now responsible for most coronavirus infections in that country. But Public Health England just released data yesterday that it doesn't appear it's driving a surge in hospitalization rates there, showing that the vaccines used in the UK appear to be doing just what was hoped in controlling severe cases of COVID-19. How much comfort do you take in this report from Public Health England?
I think this is really good news coming out from England that they haven't seen this increase in hospitalizations, but still remain cautious. Their vaccine rates, I think, are around, 59% in terms of eligible adults. So I think they still, have a long way to go in terms of improving their rates of immunization. But this is reassuring and, just continues to show how powerful these vaccines are in terms of preventing really severe disease of COVID-19.
We also have some results on the Novavax vaccine and its efficacy. Doctor, share with us what you think about that potential additional vaccine.
Yeah, so many people might think, why do we need a fourth vaccine in the United States? We already have three that are safe and effective. But this vaccine uses technology that we've used for the vaccines that we receive regularly in childhood. So there might be some people who, are a little bit hesitant about getting some of these newer vaccines who might be interested in getting this vaccine in particular. So the data that was published showed it was 90% effective overall at symptomatic disease. And then again, just like the other vaccines, 100% effective at preventing moderate to severe disease. Now, we won't have this vaccine for a while. It sounds like they're planning on waiting some time to get more data until submitting the data to the FDA for emergency use authorization. But it's really great news that we have another vaccine that's very safe and effective and could be helpful for individuals who might have allergic reactions to some of the other vaccines or other concerns. And hopefully this could be another option for those folks.
Haley tweets at AirTalk, a handful of fully vaccinated friends in Los Angeles tested positive with mild or no symptoms. Assuming Delta variant is what's spreading here now, if they do indeed have the Delta variant, will they now have Delta-specific antibodies?
That's a great question. Most likely, if they were infected by the Delta variant, they would develop an immune response to it and would have some version of protection. We don't have that data right now in vaccinated individuals to know how they respond to infection. But we do know, there was a study that recently came out showing that people who are infected and have received the mRNA vaccine, that they have lower viral loads, have high antibodies, and are less likely to get hospitalized. So this is good news because it means they're probably less likely to transmit to others than those who are unvaccinated.
All right. Ashley in Redondo Beach asks, is it okay to breastfeed after receiving a COVID-19 vaccine? I've been vaccinated with Moderna. And does the guidance differ depending on whether you've received a first or second dose?
So the good news is that there are more data demonstrating the safety of breastfeeding after you've received these vaccines. And the other good thing about breastfeeding is that as you're responding, your immune system is responding to the vaccine, that you're making antibodies that are then given to your infant. So it is safe to breastfeed after any of the vaccines that are emergency use authorized in the U.S., and I would highly recommend it because then your baby gets some antibodies because we won't have vaccines for infants for a while in the U.S.
Sabrina tweets at AirTalk, these conflicting mask recommendations are very confusing. You have the CDC saying it's fine to go in unmasked, the state saying the same, but the county saying something else, speaking of L.A. County. Couldn't this confuse people more and disincentivize vaccines?
I completely agree that the messages are confusing, but I also think that some of this boils down to local rates and capacity within your county and rates of vaccination. I hope it doesn't disincentivize people from getting vaccinated. I think that LA County is just being extra cautious to try and promote the mask wearing indoors, even among fully vaccinated individuals. And I agree with this. I think we are seeing a slight uptick in cases, and I think we just need to do everything we can to avoid another more dramatic increase. So I hope it doesn't have that effect, but I think it was the right decision by LA County. I think CDC is trying to provide guidance for the entire U.S., and there are some areas that haven't seen even any increases in cases. So hopefully this won't last very long, but we need to just continue to get more and more people vaccinated.
And again, it is a recommendation. It's not required, and business owners can make their own decisions about whether they request everybody mask or not. Eddie in Arcadia says, why should I get the COVID vaccine when I had the virus a few months ago?
This is another common question that we get. And the reason we recommend getting the vaccine is that we know that the vaccines in individuals, even who've had COVID, is safe and provides longer term immunity and boosts the antibodies that you already had towards the virus when you were naturally infected. So I would definitely recommend it. We don't know, you know, what natural infection does, for example, for protection against the Delta variant or other variants. So I would highly recommend that she gets vaccinated.
If you had had COVID-19 recently, would you consider perhaps just one of the mRNA vaccines instead of both? Or would you go with both even after recently having COVID?
Yeah, so it's still recommended that you get both, although there are both doses. Although there are some data demonstrating that, you know, one dose might provide enough of a booster, but it's still recommended that you get two until we get more data. You could also get the J&J vaccine and then just get one dose and not have to worry about necessarily, you know, having side effects after two doses, because it is true that if you've had COVID recently, you might have a little bit more fever and arm swelling and soreness. So those are two options, but I would definitely recommend that you get two doses until the recommendations officially change.
Dr. De Saint Maurice, thank you again for joining us. We so appreciate it and wish you a terrific Independence Day weekend. Hope you get some time to relax and enjoy it.
Thank you. You too, Larry.
Thank you. From UCLA, Mattel Children's Hospital, Dr. Annabelle De Saint Maurice, Assistant Professor of Pediatrics and the Co-Chief of Infection Prevention. It's Air Talk on KPCC. Coming up, we're going to hear the account of our infrastructure reporter, Sharon McNary, who had yet another terrific athletic accomplishment over the weekend, but under extreme circumstances. When you hear her tell her story, you're going to be very impressed. We'll talk with her about her latest Ironman competition in record-setting heat in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. That's coming up in just 90 seconds on Air Talk.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win, and the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.